Let's read this passage, which is from Matthew chapter 6, the next part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. Jesus speaking. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let me pray before we look at this together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege of this Sermon on the Mount that Jesus taught and which we have access to. And we do pray that as we look at it, you would teach us, encourage us. We need your help. We need you to be at work in our hearts. And so we pray that you would do that for our sake and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Is this leaky engine going to cost a fortune? Is my pension pot going to be big enough to sustain me right the way through retirement? Are my investments going to plunge? How am I going to cope financially if I were to lose my job? What if high inflation erodes the value of my savings? Am I saving enough? How am I ever going to pay my way through university? Will I ever get on the property ladder, given this crazy market at the moment? How can I best protect my wealth? These are questions that may well be familiar, but not necessarily bad questions to ask ourselves. It's not wrong to think about money. It's not wrong to do financial planning. In fact, the Bible expects us that where we're able to, that we're expected to work and to provide for our dependents where we're able. But of course, sometimes those questions can fill us with worry and dread. I wonder for you if there's ever been times where you've just felt unable to shake those concerns. Maybe at points those questions and thoughts have dominated your thinking, perhaps even kept you up at night, or leaving you feeling unsettled or uneasy, twitchy, distracted, or consumed. I think all of us actually are prone to worry, and especially so when it comes to the topic of money. So what's the antidote? How can we get worry under control? How can we let go of it? How can we better honor God in all of this? Well, some people will say, just don't worry. Just don't go there. Discipline your mind and just refuse to go there. It'll all pan out fine in the end. But of course, that just doesn't wash. Because we say back, well, you don't know the future. How do you know it's going to pan out well in the end? You don't. So what's the antidote to worry? Well, in this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been teaching us how to live as his disciples, outlining for us the mindsets, the behaviors that God expects of the citizens of his kingdom. Last week, we were looking at Jesus' teaching on money, which culminated with Jesus saying, you cannot serve both God and money. And this week, Jesus dwells on that topic a little longer and applies it to our lives a little deeper. in our Bibles, in many of our Bibles, we've got this paragraph break and editor's comment between last week's passage and this week's passage. But of course, we've got to remember that these ideas just flow one to the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry. In other words, worrying about money and running after it and grabbing it and holding it tight, Jesus says, is a way of serving money. And not worrying about money but being generous with it is a way of serving God. So again, how do we serve God instead of money? What's the antidote to worrying about not having enough? Well, I think here Jesus gives us four compelling reasons not to worry. And I'm going to touch on each briefly. And then he gives us a far, far better alternative. So firstly, Jesus says, don't worry about not having enough, because life is about more than just stuff. Life is about more than just stuff. Verse 25, Jesus says, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? And I think here Jesus is picking up that sometimes, not always, but sometimes the reason we worry is because we forget what life is actually all about. We start to think that life is all about having and owning. So as an example of this, I think as a culture generally, we tend to look up to those who are wealthy because we think that they've made it at life. We tend to look down on people who are poor because we think that they've failed at life. Why do we do that? Because we think that life is fundamentally about having and owning. And Jesus picks up on this way of thinking because he realizes that that mindset can feed our anxiety. He realizes that sometimes we worry, not because we think we're going to starve, but because we think we're not going to have enough to make us happy, because we think life is about having. So Jesus calls us to reevaluate life and to, if you like, pull those two things apart, life and having, and to see them separately. Jesus says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? He says, of course it is. And that is just amazingly liberating, I think. Because it means that as long as our basic survival needs are met, we can still do life. We can still fulfill the purpose for which we've been put on this planet of serving God. So Jesus says, don't worry about not having enough, because life is about more than just stuff. Secondly, Jesus says, don't worry about not having enough, because your Father in heaven will provide for your needs. Verse 26, very famous words. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Jesus invites us to get our binoculars out and to do some bird watching. Maybe you might do some this afternoon. And as we watch the birds in the sky, to think to ourselves, who feeds these birds? Now, I guess in the St. Albans area, about 5% of the birds are fed by us giving them bird feed in our gardens. Okay. But think of the other 95%. Where do they get their food from? Well, ultimately, they get their food from God. Or as Jesus puts it, from our Heavenly Father. Jesus says, your Heavenly Father feeds them, sending the rain to bring out the worms to feed the birds. Because, of course, that is just what God is like. He is caring. He's our Heavenly Father, and he cares, even for the animals and birds that no one else cares about. And then Jesus applies this, well, are you not much more valuable than they? In other words, Jesus says, do you really think that God is going to feed the birds and then forget about you, his precious children? Then verse 28, Jesus says, why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Jesus invites us to look at the flowers. and not the kind of cultivated flowers that we might see in a flower shop, but the wild flowers, like these ones that you just find in a field growing. No one don't belong to anybody. No one's looking after them. No one's watering them. And yet they are beautiful. I don't know what these are. You can tell me what these are later and afterwards. But they're beautiful. Jesus says, who clothes them? He says, God. Or rather, your Heavenly Father. Not just adequately, but beautifully, regally, even upstaging kings and queens. And if that's how God clothes the wild, weedy flowers, when he's not even their Heavenly Father, but our Heavenly Father, do you think he's going to leave us with nothing to wear? Us whom he has rescued and adopted? Now, of course, God may have a specific plan for your life in which you honor him by dying naked and hungry, as has been the case for some believers through the ages. And if it is, you can be absolutely sure of the most magnificent reception into glory. But unless that is God's specific plan for your life, and there's no reason to assume that it is, he will feed you and he will clothe you, because he's your caring Heavenly Father and you are his precious children. So second reason, Jesus says, don't worry about not having enough, because your Father in heaven will provide for your needs. Not necessarily our wants, but he will provide for our needs. Third reason, he says, don't worry, because worry is pointless. Verse 27 here, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And Jesus is very blunt about the impact and effect of worrying. It's not just that worrying doesn't change much. Is that worrying changes nothing, zilch, zero. It can't even prolong our lives by a single hour. It is a total waste of time. Now, I think we know that. And yet in our experience, we still do it because we think it might change something. But Jesus says, no, remember that worrying is pointless. And it's especially pointless when you think about the alternative, prayer. This verse in Matthew 6 got me thinking about Isaiah chapter 38, where King Hezekiah is about to die, and God tells him that. And on hearing that news, Hezekiah, I guess he's distressed, and I guess he may well have been tempted to worry. But instead of worrying, he prays, and he speaks to God. And God answers his prayer, saying, I've heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life. So just contrast worry and prayer for a moment. Worry, Jesus says, can't add even a single hour to your life. Prayer, in the case of Hezekiah, added 15 years to his life. Of course, that's not going to be the case all the time. But Jesus says, don't worry, it is pointless. Maybe even worse than pointless, because it hinders us from prayer, which can be very, very powerful. So don't worry, because worry is pointless. Fourth reason not to worry about not having enough, and I think this is a little bit harder to hear, really, is because worry is faithless. Jesus says that in a couple of ways. Verse 30, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Don't worry, saying, what should we eat, what should we drink, what should we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. Jesus calls out worry as essentially faithless. We see it clear in verse 30, you of little faith, very clear there. You see it in verse 31 as well. Don't worry, what should we eat and drink and wear? For the pagans run after all these things. In other words, Jesus says, when we worry, we think and act like those who don't know God, those who don't know God as Father. In 2009, the British Humanist Association ran the London bus ad campaign. You may remember it. There's probably no God. Now stop worrying and enjoy your life. And there are loads of problems with that statement. We could be here all day thinking about the problems with that statement. Not least the idea that atheism leads to a worry-free life. Because according to Jesus' observation of the world, those who think that there's no God or who don't know God as their Father, those are the ones who will worry the most. Jesus says you can spot them. You can spot the pagans. Why? Because they're frantically running around worried that they're not going to have enough. And that kind of fits. If you think that having enough water and food and clothes and so on depends completely and entirely onto you, then you're going to worry. The anxiety of atheism. That's Jesus' observation. Well, Jesus says when we worry about not having enough, we are thinking and acting just like them. We're thinking and acting like a spiritual orphan, when in fact we're a beloved child. I guess all of us have seen, at least on TV, the kind of awful footage of desperately poor places in the world where orphaned kids have to sleep rough and try and get by living on the street. Horrible images and an awful existence for them. Desperate, they turn to begging and stealing and scrounging, anything in a quest for survival. And we understand that these poor kids, their lives are orientated around getting food and shelter. Why do they go like that? Well, because they're orphans, because they don't have a mother or father to provide food for them. It's all down to them. But imagine just how absurd it would be if you were to go and visit one of these poor places and you start to chat to some of these street kids and you realize that among them there are some who aren't orphans at all. In fact, they even speak fondly of their father and mother. And you come to realize that in fact they have very loving and very wealthy parents living in safe and happy homes who love them. It would be absurd, it would be bizarre, it wouldn't make sense. We'd say to them, why are you running around like these other orphans? You've got a family, you've got a father and a mother. Well, when we worry about not having enough, when we anxiously run after and grab hold of and hold tight to money and stuff, I guess we're like those kids. The spiritual equivalent of beloved children who, for whatever reason, think and act like orphans. It doesn't make sense. It's absurd. Jesus says worry is ultimately faithless, a lack of faith in our Heavenly Father's care. And I suppose the challenge for us in all of this concerns God as Father. That phrase, our Father in heaven, is it just what we say when we begin our prayers? Or do we really believe it in all aspects of our lives? So fourth reason, don't worry about not having enough, because worry is faithless, and we don't need to doubt our Heavenly Father's care. He knows what we need. And I could just pause there for a moment, just encourage you and say, you know, if you're listening to this and from a position you think, no, I'm not a Christian, I don't trust in the Lord Jesus, can I encourage you to see just how good it is to have God as our Heavenly Father, looking out for us, caring for us. He is on our side. He wants what's best for us. He can be trusted with our lives. And I would encourage you to think seriously about trusting in Christ, to be brought into his adopted family, a wonderful reality for any who would turn and trust in Christ. But then as we come to a close, Jesus doesn't just want us to be free from worry. He wants to free us from worry so that we can give our lives to seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. So instead of worrying, verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What does it mean to seek his kingdom and righteousness? Well, I think it means to seek to live as citizens of God's kingdom for a start. In lots of schools, you can choose to study citizenship. Maybe even some of the teenagers are studying it at the moment. Partly teaching about our individual responsibilities, how to be a good citizen in the United Kingdom, which when you boil it down, it comes down to activities like voting, and not littering, and paying taxes, and volunteering, and respecting other people, and so on. Well, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount has been a bit like his citizenship class, what it looks like to live as a citizen in God's kingdom. We've seen that it looks like to be salt of the earth, to be peace-loving, to be radical in fighting sin, to seek to be holy and not just to look holy, and so on. So part of what it means to seek God's kingdom and righteousness is to live holy and righteous and God-pleasing lives. So instead of worrying, we're to seek to live as citizens of God's kingdom. And secondly, we're seek to work as ambassadors for God's kingdom. You think of an effective ambassador. They can be a real asset to a nation. You think of an ambassador meeting up with representatives from other nations, listening to them, speaking to them, clarifying misunderstandings, calming tensions where needed, negotiating solutions, facilitating major trade deals, maintaining peace and goodwill. In terms of growing and promoting and supporting a country's interests, a good ambassador is worth their weight in salt. So when Jesus says we're to seek God's kingdom, it also means we are to live and work as ambassadors for it, promoting, supporting and extending it. Of course, that includes speaking of his kingdom to those who would listen, praying for its extension. But it's not just about that. It's broad. It's really about orientating our whole lives around the interests of God's kingdom. Being generous with our resources, using our gifts, at representing God's kingdom, whatever we might be doing. So instead of worrying about not having enough, we're to seek first his kingdom, living as citizens of God's kingdom, working as ambassadors for God's kingdom. And the real challenge of all of that comes with that little word, first. Seek first his kingdom and righteousness. In other words, Jesus says our role as citizens, our responsibility as citizens of his kingdom, our role as ambassadors of his kingdom, isn't to be a side project, a kind of hobby that we do when we're tired of running after all of the other things of the world. No, it's to be our number one priority. It's to be the thing that we orientate our life around. It is to reframe everything that we do. So that instead of being eaten up with worry, is my pension pot big enough? Are my investments going to plunge? What if I lose my job? What about high inflation and my savings? How am I ever going to pay my way through university? How will I ever get on the property ladder given this crazy market? How can I best protect my wealth? Instead of being eaten up with worry, Jesus calls us to focus that energy instead on seeking the interests of the kingdom. How can I best honor God in my approach to work? What's it going to look like to be a good kingdom citizen when it comes to my overbearing boss? How can I please God with my retirement? How can I do good in this world? Who can I encourage in the gospel? How can I use my money for what God wants? How can I use my property to advance and support the kingdom? How can we best reach the unreached? And so on and so on. And of course, the wonderful thing that Jesus teaches us here is that we are freed up to think on and act on those things, prioritizing those things. Why? Because we know that we have a Father in heaven who has promised to provide for all our needs. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, all our material needs, which we might otherwise worry about, will be given to you as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we think on this issue and this topic of worry, we do acknowledge before you that often we worry about not having enough, we worry about stuff, and we are guilty in that sense. And so we pray, please, would you forgive us? And would you help us and change us? Please be at work in our hearts that we might deepen our hearts really and deeply and truly trust that you are good, and that you are our Heavenly Father who will provide for all of our needs for as long as you have ordained us to live. Help us with these things, and we pray that we might be those who seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. as we close, we're going to sing of our generous and caring Heavenly Father. Great is your faithfulness. If you'd like to stand to sing. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.